Broadcasting live from the San Diego Marriott Marquis and Marina, it's CEO Exclusive. Now here's your hosts, Mark Borelli and Soini Koch.
Hey, and welcome back. We're at CEO Exclusive Radio and Marriott Marquis in San Diego at the Vistage Executive Summit. And I'm here with Soini Koch, my co-host, and we've got a great guy joining us, Tony Glockler. Is that correct, Tony?
That's correct, Mark.
A solid professor.
That's correct.
Yeah, so Tony, as we like to ask all our guests, what are the trends in your industry and area of expertise that you think other middle market CEOs should know?
That's a really great question. I think really relevant to what we do. So I think one of the biggest trends that we're seeing right now is companies making an investment in their personnel, in their staff, and helping them want to become better at their jobs. So learning being an investment that is not a secondary thought, but rather a primary focus, especially with technology that's changing so rapidly. CEOs and companies need to make the investment in their companies for them to be relevant and competitive in the market.
And as you think about your company being at the intersection of engineering and training and technology, how does a CEO, and you may even want to speak to this for your own company, really think about the dollar and how much time and money to invest in training people?
Yeah, that's always the question that everyone asks, right? And there seems to be a balance, a line of how much is too much of an investment and how much is the appropriate investment. And I've heard numbers all over the board. I was in a meeting yesterday with Udacity CEO who they do online learning for a variety of topics. And they've been venture funded. They're a very successful company. They're really changing the marketplace as far as learning. And he committed between 20 and 25% of time, employee time, towards learning. I think he was a little hesitant to voice that because I think most people would think that's a pretty large investment. And I think that the answer really comes down to you need to understand what do your employees need to know and what's relevant for their business, be able to measure that and understand how do you get to that level of knowledge with your employees. So it's like with everything, you need an ability to measure it. And I think that's one thing that's missing right now. People don't know how to measure the skill level that their employees need at their jobs. And it's just a matter of changing your mindset and making that investment to put time into that.
And so, I mean, that's an interesting concept, talking about measuring the skills. Do you think that's because, well, the technology is not quite there yet, or even the CEO doesn't know the skills his employees need in various positions? Which do you think it is? Or is it a combination of both?
With everything, there's no silver bullet, right? It's a combination of all of them. And it's not something that happens overnight. But it starts with a focus on thinking about those things rather than just assuming that your employees know what they're doing, but taking the time to understand what those roles are. Particularly here, we're just in the Vistage Summit, listening to the former CEO of Ford talking about having a plan and making sure your people are operating and moving towards that plan. These are key players in your organization, just like if you're talking about a basketball team. Everyone has a role to play, and there are specific skills for that role. That's why you have leaders in each different level or managers that should understand what those roles are and understand how to measure those skills.
Okay. And so, you know, planning is my favorite word. I'm a strategist by trade. Mm-hmm. And do you think then that this training and development should be a part of a company's strategic plan?
Absolutely.
And what form should it take and what should it look like and what should it include, or how should a CEO really think about that if this is something that they should be including in their strategic plan?
My personal belief, obviously, since I run a learning organization, is that every company should have a learning plan. Everyone needs to make that decision for themselves. But in general, we're in a very technology-heavy time where if you're not using technology, you're probably going to be far behind, or you're in an industry that doesn't move very quickly. But everything is shifting to technology-based applications. So from the standpoint of when should you make that decision? I think everyone needs to, and they need to take a look at what are the things that they need to do within their business to stay relevant and stay caught up with what their industry is doing.
Mm-hmm. And what should that training plan include?
I think the first one is understanding what skill sets are important for the people in the different positions and literally documenting that. And then taking the next step and understanding, okay, let's write down what the necessary goals are for each one of these individuals. And it could be soft skills, it could be technical skills, it could be technology skills, so different systems that you're using that are important to your job. For CEO Exclusive Radio, I imagine you need to have a skill set for everyone on your team. Depending on what technology they're using, you need to rely on them knowing how to use that technology effectively. Same thing applies to every single position. And a lot of times those things are overlooked.
You know, it's interesting. I'd follow up on that in the M&A business, but companies that have well-educated employees that know their roles, I think, have greater value. And so it's an item that doesn't appear on a balance sheet as a standard. It adds a lot of value to the company, but it's not something I can actually prove in data. But I perceive that that probably is the case, which is something should appeal to CEOs building value in the organization. Do you see, though, some CEOs seeing that as a value creation?
Absolutely. So I think about a year ago, the CEO of AT&T made a very large announcement that he is requiring his entire team, and AT&T has a pretty big team, to be able to adapt and understand the technological changes that are going to be happening over the next 5-10 years. And there's an initiative that's requiring individuals to keep up with their own skills and identify what those are. AT&T is going to support a large majority of those costs to keep people skilled. But for them to recognize, especially there's a huge cost associated with that for AT&T, but if they fall behind from a technology perspective, then they fall behind as a business. So think of Kodak, think of all these big companies that were leaders and they fell behind. So that learning and keeping up to speed with the tools is fundamentally important to a CEO and to a business.
Okay. So how does, if you were going to, and it would be great to get some examples from your perspective, you know, whether and not in Solid Professor or outside, of the actual bottom line impact of professional development. So like, how does it hit the bottom line?
From that perspective, I think it's more of a visionary type initiative. I don't think it's something that you're going to see overnight, like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You fundamentally need to shift as a business to move forward. I don't think I'm answering your question quite directly, but...
Well, so what's the impact that you've seen? What difference does it make?
I think the impact from a company's perspective, it's going to help accelerate innovation. It's going to help accelerate the ability to get products or designs or things out the door faster and more effectively. It's going to help support the business to operate more effectively, for people to communicate more effectively. One kind of soft benefit is you're going to see happier employees and happier staff. There's frustrations, general frustrations with tools. That can manifest itself with inside of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have a happy team, a successful team, they need to understand how to use those tools, how to do the business processes effectively, and be confident.
So following up on that, you know, your organization has supposedly a great culture, and I'd like to hear how you developed that, but how much training do you guys do internally?
That's a great question. So I think from a culture standpoint, we're fortunate because we're in San Diego. So in most cases, people wake up with a smile on their face. But building that culture is very important. I think the first thing we look for are people that are passionate and excited about what we do as a business. And if you're not coming with that passion, that excitement, it's something that you can't teach people. It's something either they understand, learning, online learning, skills development, and they understand it and they're passionate about it. Or it's something that doesn't interest them, and it's easy to separate those people as you go through an interview process.
Mm-hmm. And so you've been growing. I've experiencing a lot of growth. And what do you think has been the key to Solid Professor's success?
I think it's a mixture of things. One is I think we have a great team, a fantastic team, and we've really been focusing on the culture, making it a great place for people to work. So when they come into work, they're excited. They want to make an impact. We have a plan and we have a vision for where we're going, and people want to make an impact. They want to be part of that part of that story with Solid Professor as we grow and we grow as a company. So I think that's a fundamental part of why we're growing and that's supporting that success.
You have a couple tips for CEOs listening who also want to foster all that good juju, warm and fuzzy, wuzzy on their teams as well?
Absolutely. I think you got to appreciate your team. Go out and say thank you. Go out and say, if someone did a great job on something, let them know it and share that with everybody in front of everybody. There's a great book I read called The Carrot Principle. And there's just some fundamental human nature is just to be appreciated for effort and a job well done. It really motivates people and it helps them understand that they're on the right track and they're doing the right things for themselves and for the position.
So as you think about the future, what do you see as the future for Solid Professor? What's coming up next?
A lot of exciting things coming up for us. So we're going through some fundamental shifts as a business, trying to serve a broader market. And so with that comes some challenges for us from an operational standpoint. How do we help support the growth of our business and try to go into these new markets as we're going into them? So, you know, like you said before, one of the fundamental parts of it is having a plan. So right now we're in the middle of developing that plan and making sure we understand what that plan is for the next 3 to 5 years, how every single person's going to fit in, and then maybe making sure that they're aware of their role in that plan, and also what that means for them if we're successful, when we're successful.
And so when you say what that means for them, does that mean some sort of monetary something for them?
You know, that's one part of it, and it's just part of the main thing we're focusing on right now is to be something that doesn't exist right now in industry. For them, it means to be a player in something that will become different and much grower, much larger, much more successful than what it was previously. And obviously monetarily as well. We want people in our organization to be able to share in the benefits of us growing financially as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for a wonderful interview. It was great to have you on the show, Tony.
Thank you, Srini. Thanks, Mark.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.